From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, September 5th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hear yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
Yep. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets, you get to make the call. It says here, a goal without a plan is just a wish. Yeah, but at least it's a place to start. And now all you have to do is just get out of bed.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Let's do this.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I know, that's
just the same. You need to know your Twisted History. You might be quizzed.
Okay. I'll consider myself warned. Well, all right, kids, it was on this day in 1970. Jochen Rindt became the only driver to posthumously win the Formula One World Drivers Championship after being killed in practice for the Italian Grand Prix. There weren't many living drivers who were happy with those results, I can tell you that. And it was on this day in 1984, the Space Shuttle Discovery landed at Edwards Air Force Base, California, after its maiden voyage. And while it was an exciting event, it paled in comparison to watching that 747 piggyback that heavy shuttle back to Florida. Oh, that was a sight. And they flew right over Houston because the Space Center is right here. And I saw it from my car that morning as I was driving to work.
Yes, isn't it delightful?
On yesterday's exciting blogcast, we told you about this Venezuelan drug cartel or gang. I think they're synonymous, drug cartels and gangs. But this very violent Venezuelan gang that has infiltrated the United States, more specifically over in Aurora, Colorado. They're known as Tren de Aragua. And it's kind of hair-raising when you realize they've already taken over an apartment complex. They're charging rent. They're collecting the rent from tenants there. And, you know, what are the tenants going to do to try to fight back? I mean, there's nothing they can do. A couple have already been evicted by Tren de Aragua. This is a dangerous group. And right now, we only know about them being in Aurora, Colorado. They could be in any one of a number of other places throughout the United States. So, rather than pushing the panic button, there are some enterprising people here in the country who have taken note of what's going on, and they've taken to social media to suggest a few things. I don't know who this guy is, but he is identified as a member of a biker group in Aurora, Colorado.
So there's a lot of talk going on about Aurora, Colorado, and the fact that but Venezuelan gangs have taken over hotels or something out there. And one creator posted a video about it, calling on the Hell's Angels. And I know that HA is out there. I also know that there's a couple of chapters of the Sons of Silence out there. So, you know, maybe it's time for the local one percenter clubs and other motorcycle clubs to step in and do what the local PD and the sheriff's office can't do. Get out there and take back your town. Take back your AO, you know, and kick them out of the where they don't belong, you know. Because, you know, this is our soil, not theirs. Get out there, take back what's yours, and kick these gangs out where they don't belong or whatever. Because from my understanding, from what I'm reading, it seems the local population is real scared about this. So, yeah, maybe it's time for the biker community to get involved to protect their own soil. Just a thought.
Again, I don't know who he is, but it really doesn't matter. I mean, the fact that this is going around virally on social media, I think, is a point of interest. Because if Kamala Harris manages to take the White House, and that could happen because we know, and we've known for some time, that the Democrats are still exercising fraud plans, their blueprints for exercising fraud in this election. We have no guarantee that Donald Trump is going to win, even though the polls now are saying, yeah, Trump is ahead. We've known this. I mean, here again, nobody shows up for Kamala Harris speeches, and Donald Trump repeatedly fills up venues all over, both outdoor and indoor venues. And so the simple math would tell you the man would win. But I'm just afraid that the same thing's going to happen in November that happened back in 2020. So if that is the case, what are we going to do to defend ourselves? Because God knows a Kamala Harris administration won't lift a finger to fight back against groups like Trendy or Agua. And that's the only group we're talking about right now. There are others. You know, there are drug cartels and gangs out of Mexico. But again, as we mentioned in yesterday's podcast, that Trendy or Agua is considered to be the equivalent of MS-13 on steroids. This isn't something we can afford to ignore. So, the gentleman who just spoke a few minutes ago, just a suggestion, I guess. But I took that off of a Facebook post from a friend of mine, and I replied to it by saying, well, you got to do what you got to do. Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. Got to love this guy. I love the way he speaks. And when he's got something on his mind, he's not afraid to say it. And he criticized Kamala Harris for her handling, or maybe lack thereof, of key issues during a Tuesday night appearance on the Fox News Channel, specifically Laura Ingraham's program.
Kamala Harris is promising, as she did over the weekend in a tweet, I believe, to turn away from chaos and embrace the rule of law, protect the rule of law. So what's been going on for the last 3.5 years? Well, we got a little glimpse of it in Aurora, Colorado.
Well, the reason I think that Ms. Harris talks about abstractions like the rule of law, like freedom, like joy, like opportunity, is because she can't talk about a record. Unless you do your research on Twitter, you know that Ms. Harris's record on inflation and crime and the economy and the border and national security and national defense sucks. That's why she distorts and attempts to distract. I don't think this election will be decided on abstractions like the rule of law or joy. I don't think most Americans think that much about abstractions. They're too busy getting up every day and going to work and obeying the law and paying their taxes and trying to keep their kids' morals. I think this election is going to be decided on the things that moms and dads and voters worry about when they lie down to sleep at night and can't. And if you ask me to summarize or articulate the one thing that most middle-class Americans find so frustrating today, it would be this. In America today, it is harder than ever to get ahead, and it is easier than ever to do nothing. I still think the economy, inflation, and this campaign is going to be the main issue. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been inflation machines. What is Ms. Harris's plan to reduce prices? She doesn't have one.
The consumer price index, it should be noted, increased 2.9%, nearly 3% year over year in July. The first time it's fallen below 3% since reaching a peak of 9% in June of 2022. And Harris proposed a plan to ban price gouging on groceries. She did that back in the middle of August. A harebrained idea. I mean, we mentioned this at the time. I don't know if you remember, if you weren't alive then, of course you don't remember, Richard Nixon instituted wage and price freezes, a nationwide wage and price freeze with the hopes that he was going to stop inflation. Well, it just made it worse. And we were stuck with that inflation until Ronald Reagan got into office. Just totally absurd. And then hot on the heels of that came news yesterday that manufacturing is down. And now they're feeling it on Wall Street. Yeah, the manufacturing in this country always falls. It seems to shut down every time we have a damn Democrat in the White House. Well, manufacturing, the latest report shows that manufacturing is down. And at a time of inflation, do we want to be exporting jobs to other countries? Do we want our automobiles, our appliances, our electronics manufactured overseas? How does that help us when we're in recession? And that's another thing. We've been in recession for quite some time, but nobody in politics on either side, neither the Democrats nor the Republicans, except for a few Republicans, are willing to use the R word. We're in a recession. We have been in a recession, arguably since Joe Biden took the White House. And nobody's doing anything about it. Now, Trump's lead over Kamala Harris concerning the economy narrowed in a recent Reuters Ipsos poll, which here again, it's another one of those harebrained polls. You can't set your sights on a Reuters Ipsos poll. But they found that 43% of registered voters preferred President Trump's economic policies, while 40% said the same of Harris. That's too damn close. And all that tells me is that we live in a country of idiots, complete idiots. These people can't find their backsides with both hands on a GPS. And by the way, just so that you know, the poll was conducted from August 23rd through 25th, has a 4% margin of error. All right, so there's a 3% difference between Trump and Harris. Trump at 43%, Harris at 40%, and there's a 4% margin of error. And you know why I think this is the case in these polls? I think the polls don't know what they're doing. I really don't. I think they select the same few people in these polls every time, over and over again. Why is it that the results of an election always turns out to be so different from what the polls said in advance of the election would be happening? That's the only constant in these polls. They're wrong. Here's something you're certainly not going to hear from the White House. According to preliminary data at market close on Tuesday, the benchmark S&P 500 lost 118.64 points, or 2.1%, to end at 5,529.76 points, while the NASDAQ lost 576.06 points, or 3.25%, to 17,137.56. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 618.72 points, or 1.5%, just under 1.5%, to 40,944.36. So Treasury yields sank, suggesting investors were seeking refuge in the perceived safety of bonds as factory data. Here's the foundation for it all. Factory data released by the Institute for Supply Management, also known as the ISM, and S&P Global showed manufacturing mired in weakness and, as some analysts believe, pointing to sharply slowing economic growth. Now, let's make something very clear here. The slowdown in manufacturing isn't due entirely, as I may have suggested a little earlier, that we're exporting so many jobs. That's only part of it. That's just the tip of the iceberg. What's signaling a slowdown in manufacturing is that people aren't buying anything. You have this seriously inflationary economy that we're stuck in with no sign of getting out of it. There's no sign pointing to any relief. And we won't have any kind of signs at all until after the election. And God help us, if Trump doesn't win, this inflation is going to continue. Because as more and more people pour across our southern border, you have more and more taxpayer money, money we don't even have, not just taxpayer money. So much of that is going to go to supporting, giving all of these illegal aliens all the freebies, free places to live, free meals, free medical, free education. That comes out of our pockets. And when our money runs out, what do? Deficit spending. Now, when Donald Trump left office, and this is something you never hear about, when Donald Trump left office back in 2021, early January of 2021, the national debt was somewhere in the neighborhood of $23 trillion. And now we're well into the mid-30s. We are going under financially as a nation. Nations around the world now are calling on trading, on international trading, to be switched over to a different currency than the U.S. dollar. They don't trust the dollar, nor should they. So, I don't know. We're looking at a situation financially where we are pedaling uphill. And we can't even make the interest payments on what we owe as a nation now. Well, getting back to the issue at hand, Robert Pavlik, who's a senior portfolio manager at Dakota Wealth in Fairfield, Connecticut, said, investors are wondering, are we heading into a recession quicker than what was thought? Or does the Fed have this under control with rate cuts going forward? And he added that the manufacturing data certainly didn't help. I mean, this is the foundation of our nation, manufacturing. The U.S. manufacturing sector recorded a decline in production for the first time in 7 months, according to the S&P Global report, which also noted falling demand. See, that goes back to what I just said a minute ago. People aren't buying stuff. People aren't buying new cars. They're not buying new appliances. They're just not buying much of anything because they can't afford it. People don't trust the future. And then you have that nitwit half of our nation that thinks Kamala Harris is the answer to it. Jeez! So there's a renewed reduction in employment. Be watching those numbers. And all that does is it serves to fuel inflationary pressures. When you have a drop in employment, inflation increases. So Chris Williamson, chief business economist at S&P Global, issued a statement where he said, slower than expected sales are causing warehouses to fill with unsold stock, and a dearth of new orders has prompted factories to cut production for the first time since January. Producers are also reducing payroll numbers for the first time this year and buying fewer inputs amid concerns about excess capacity. Now, when you throw into this the fact that this administration had been pushing for everybody to switch over to driving EVs, buy a car you can't afford, and fuel it with the electricity that you can't get. The insanity just exploded. And so the people who could afford an electric car started driving one so they could send their little message. You know, virtue signaling is what they call that. And there's all kinds of virtue signaling. I would bet you 90% of the people driving Teslas or other EVs are doing so so they can virtue signal. Look at me. Look at me. I'm driving a non-polluting vehicle when, in fact, those vehicles are very polluting. If you could see what it takes to manufacture lithium batteries, your skin would crawl. But yeah, the government decided with this Biden administration to get into the business of promoting EVs. Hell, they're not promoting them. They're trying to sell them. So we're in trouble deep, my friend. Very deep. So this guy, Chris Williamson, again, he's the chief business economist at S&P Global. He also said the combination of falling orders and rising inventory sends the gloomiest forward indication of production trends seen for one and a half years. And one of the most worrying signals witnessed since the global financial crisis. In other words, the news isn't good. The ISM report painted a similar picture, noting softening demand, contracting employment, and manufacturing activity remaining in recession territory for the fifth consecutive month. And this was in August, okay? Pink slips are being issued in a lot of places. There will be more layoffs, too. I don't know if that will continue should Donald Trump win in November, but you're going to have to wait until we're several months into the new term before we start noticing any kind of a turnaround. Gee whiz, it took 2 years. Actually, a little more than 2 years for Ronald Reagan to straighten out the damage that Jimmy Carter caused. So Timothy Fiori, who's the chair of ISM's Manufacturing Business Survey Committee, said demand remains subdued as companies show an unwillingness to invest in capital and inventory due to current federal monetary policy and election uncertainty. So we are now stuck in this abyss for the next several months. Maybe some hope come November 5th. Maybe. But despite falling demand and a drop in production, factory costs increased naturally because there's just inflation overall, not just at the grocery store. Inflation is everywhere. Have you priced a new car lately? Take a look at that. So this is all according to the S&P Global report. Rising wages and high shipping rates pushed up input costs, which rose in August at their fastest pace since April 2023, suggesting a possible stagflationary trend. And if you're old enough to remember it, that is what we had with the Gerald Ford administration, stagflation. Then Jimmy Carter came in and rescued us from that and just took us into outright inflation. Monumental inflation. Man, I tell you what, I find it hard to look back on the 70s nostalgically. It's very difficult. Had a couple of kids born in the 70s, but, you know, that was the bright spot. And boy, I remember how difficult that was, having to sit down on Sunday evenings trying to decide what it was going to be for any given week, whether we were going to be able to buy gas or groceries. Now, analysts at ING said the manufacturing data suggests that economic output is poised for, in their words, a significant slowdown. That's the overall picture. Got no numbers with that, but that's what to expect. And James Knightley, who's a chief international economist at ING, said there's a worrying narrowing of the pockets of strength. Just 22% of industry is experiencing rising orders, and just 17% are seeing rising production. Historically, this weakness in output and orders points to a sharp slowing in GDP growth. Thank you, Biden administration. Joe Rogan is a cultural icon for good reason. He's relatable. He can relate to just about all of us. I don't know how wealthy he is. He's doing pretty well. But when he calls out wealth, he's not hypocritical about it. Now, he ripped into Oprah Winfrey, who's a billionaire, and former First Lady Michelle Obama the other day for discussing income inequality at the Democratic National Convention. And he delivered some comments on his podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, when addressing the ensuing chaos that happened at the DNC, because that was not a peaceful affair. And it went down pretty much as I had predicted. But listen to Joe Rogan.
You watched Trump on The View from like 2015 when they all loved him?
Yeah, that's right.
Played that the other day?
It's fantastic.
It's nuts.
Yeah. They're all being cute with him. Yeah. And, you know,
how about Oprah? Like, Oprah was talking about her and Trump running together.
Yeah. I know.
And now she's speaking to the DNC that he's a threat to democracy.
From the Redwood Forest, love those Redwoods, to the Gulf Stream waters, I've seen racism and sexism and income inequality and division. I've not only seen it, at times I've been on the receiving end of it.
And she's up there talking about income inequality. Like, hey, lady.
Yeah.
I know.
You're rich as f***. Like, how is that equal? And also, when Michelle Obama was saying, you know, I think she was saying her mother or grandmother was always suspicious of people who took more than they needed.
Yes.
Like, you are worth so much money.
I'm kidding me.
That's so crazy. And you did it on a civil servant's salary, which is insane.
I thought it was rather interesting, too, that Rogan went on to say that it was nuts how several celebrities used to be close friends with Donald Trump. But now they hate him because he's a Republican and not a Democrat. And that just shows you how deeply entrenched these people, these Hollywood types in particular, are in the Democrat Party. And I've said this before, if Adolf Hitler were running on the Democrat ticket, they would vote for him. This is the way they are. In fact, I think one of the dumbest bastards walking the face of the planet when it comes to politics is George Clooney. What a dumbass. This guy is dumber than dumb. He's dumber than any of the stupid criminals that I've profiled on my radio show. George Clooney can't find his political backside with both hands and a GPS. And the only reason he's a Democrat is because his father was a Democrat. His father, who was a TV personality in Cincinnati, was also a Cincinnati politician for a number of years. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he was a mayor for a while in Cincinnati on the Democrat ticket. So that's how insane all of this is. It's nuts. These people are in the tank for Democrats. And it doesn't matter what the Democrats are pushing. They can push communism and they don't care. They will still support a candidate like Kamala Harris, who is a socialist, and riding on her coattails, of course, is Tim Walz, who is a card-carrying, but he is a communist. That man has made 30 trips to China, and on each of the trips, bought boxes full of Mao's little red book. I tell you what, you vote for Kamala Harris, you want this country just to go straight to hell. All right, let's have some fun in the Comedy Corner with Orlando Baxter.
My name's Orlando Baxter, and if you can't tell by my accent, I'm black. So. I know that's obvious to most of you guys in here, but I grew up in a Hispanic neighborhood, predominantly Hispanic, and they all thought I was Dominican because I could roll my R's. Yeah. Like, whenever I say my name, I'll be like, hi, I'm Orlando. And they get real excited, you know? They'll be like, Orlandito! Orlando, ¿qué vaso? And then I'd have to tell them the truth. Sorry, I'm basketball black, not baseball black. I liked it, though. I like growing up in a Spanish neighborhood, you know? Learn how to roll my R's. I also learned how to do that little Spanish dance. You know the one? Spanish dance. 90% of the population looks ridiculous trying to do this dance, right? Not me, man. I learned, man. Huepa, huepa. Here's the thing about that dance. Not only is it a great dance, but it's also the most effective way to kill cockroaches. Because the spray doesn't work. I remember I used a whole can of Raid on one roach. All the roach did was lay on its back and wash up. It was... Don't forget my face, brother. I got a date. The only thing I didn't like about growing up in that neighborhood is I got picked on a lot because I wore glasses. Anybody wear glasses in here? See, I didn't have the thin kind, though. Had the thick kind that attract bullies, you know? Like, bullies would get excited when they see me walking. They would talk to me the way, like they were construction workers, you know? Every time I'd walk by, they'd be like, woo-wee! Look at the lenses on that one right there, woo! That's all pupil right there. I bet he does all the homework. Look at him. Woo! It was terrible. I get bullied. You're skinny and you're black and you wear glasses, Urkel. Everywhere I went, Urkel! I remember the first time I ever got bullied, I was sitting in class, I'm doing my work, just trying to concentrate, doing my work. This older kid was like, yo, Urkel, do something Urkel-y before I punch you in your face. I didn't know what Urkel-y meant. So I picked up my pencil and I stabbed him.
Make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.